I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 93 are Brad Coates.
Let's go to Disneyland.
Kevin Crossman.
I'm ready for my magical experience.
And David Blatt.
Hello, hello, everyone.
And if you couldn't tell from the introductions there, tonight we're continuing our detailed look at the lands of Disneyland with a look at Fantasyland tonight. But before we get to that, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Fairytale Journeys would love to help you with your next Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, or Disneyland vacation. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. Tonight, we're focused really on just one land. Unlike the previous shows in this series, we've talked about, you know, two or three at a time, mostly because there's so much going on in Fantasyland that we want to devote the entire show to it. And I also think that because of the way that Fantasyland is situated, sort of in some ways as the fulcrum of the park, you know, you've got the hub that's at the center, but the way the park flows, it sort of flows in all directions from Fantasyland as well, in a lot of ways. And maybe to help understand why we did that, what we've done is ask each member of the panel to sort of describe their entry into the land as if they were coming into Fantasyland from a different direction, because there are entrances into Fantasyland from the hub, from Tomorrowland, from Frontierland. And so, David, why don't I throw it to you first and talk to us a little bit about that entry into Fantasyland from the hub.
All right. Well, this is probably one of the most famous walks you can take at Disneyland. It's walking straight from the hub towards the castle. You'll see the moat in front of you. You'll cross that drawbridge straight through the castle. And you enter what looks, for all intents and purposes, like an old British village, maybe in medieval times. The carousel's right in front of you to kind of set the scene when you are walking through the castle. That's pretty much all you can see until you cross through and enter the bigger space and you see just all this magical stuff around you. It's a little disorienting at first. There's a ton to see around there.
Maybe even more so, you know, these days, as you're walking through with the new additions there at the front of the castle.
Oh yeah, there are, to either side of the castle, there are a couple of things that you really don't want to miss. There's a brand new Princess Fantasy Fair over to the left of the castle that is themed really well with the rest of the area. It has a small theater in there where they have a couple different shows throughout the day. They have a scale replica of Rapunzel's Tower that is always a big hit with the younger ones. And on the other side of the castle, you can take a smaller, more secluded trail to Snow White's Wishing Well. And there's an absolutely beautiful little grotto back there with statues of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. And it's always a great place to take a stroll through because you just never know who you're going to run into back there.
Okay. So a character meet and greet hotspot, huh?
Definitely. We ran into what I understand is a rare one on our last trip. We ran into Peter Pan and hung out with him for about 10 minutes.
Nice.
Which was pretty awesome.
Very cool. And, okay, so that's your entry from the hub and probably the most famous entrance and the most common entrance into Fantasyland. But you can also get into Fantasyland as, you know, we've kind of been taking this clockwise trek around the lands of Disneyland. You can also get, you know, connect into Fantasyland right from Frontierland, which would be the next land sort of counterclockwise from Fantasyland. And Brad, why don't you talk about the entry into Fantasyland, or I'm sorry, Kevin, talk about the entry into Fantasyland from the Frontierland side.
Well, sure. When you go past Big Thunder Mountain around the back part of Frontierland into where they have the Big Thunder Ranch area, there's a trail. And if you keep going, you'll see the backside of Big Thunder Mountain. And then if you keep going, there's a big old wooden fence area. And if you go through there and make a hard left, you're right into the back part of Fantasyland. This is kind of one of your overlooked portions of Fantasyland. It doesn't have the super big e-ticket attractions like you get, you know, like the Matterhorn or Small World or anything like that. But it is a kind of a charming little area. You have the Casey Jr. Little coaster ride over there, and they have the Village House restaurant. And then you kind of come in to where they have Dumbo and the carousel kind of from the odd angle that you get from when you come in straight through the main part of the castle. So kind of a different way to come through, but it can be a good way to, you know, come in and out of Fantasyland without having to come back into that crowded hub. So it's kind of a nice way to from a transportation way to leverage that location.
So sort of the back door in and out.
Yeah, and for folks who are familiar with Magic Kingdom, this would be where you would have Peter Pan and Small World. So there's no big e-ticket style attractions in this area. But again, if you're looking for a break in Fantasyland, this might be a good place to hang out.
Okay, great. And then the third entrance is sort of the opposite side. And we'll talk about Tomorrowland in detail on another show, but you can also get back into the Fantasyland area from Tomorrowland. And Brad, why don't you kind of take us into Fantasyland from the Tomorrowland side?
Sure. With this side of the park, unlike coming through the castle or coming from around Thunder Mountain, Thunder Mountain just narrows into one path, and that's the only place you can really go. If you keep walking, you're going to end up there. Coming in from the Tomorrowland side, it can be a little less clear that you're in Fantasyland, but all you have to look – but it's actually real easy to spot when you're in Fantasyland, because you, as you come out of Tomorrowland, you're going to walk smack dab into Matterhorn, which is actually a part of Fantasyland. And you can go to the left of it and go to the right of it. But the unique thing about this entry side is that either side you go around – once you come around onto the path that's on the other side of the mountain, there's really no rides there. You have to take the path up, and if you keep going straight, this is actually the parade route that'll take you straight up to It's a Small World, or you make a left into the area where both of the other paths intersect into all the Peter Pan, Dumbo, and all of that. So it's kind of unique because there's really no rides on that path except Matterhorn.
Okay.
Until you get clear up to It's a Small World, which is up in the very far corner.
So you've got the one big e-ticket attraction kind of right there at that entrance.
Right, but and then, easy to spot.
Yeah. But then beyond that, you've got some space before you get to the next area where there are attractions.
Right. There's a road there. It's a big path because that's the parade route. But there's really no rides. It's kind of funny. You're on the back side, if you can envision that, of some of the key rides that are in the little section that the other gentleman talked about, where Peter Pan and Snow White and all of those guys. So,
yeah. So now one of the things I think that we need to mention here is that this is the area, I think maybe more than any other, where you notice the major differences between Walt Disney World and Disneyland, Magic Kingdom and Disneyland in particular. We talked about that a little bit on the last show, but I don't know, Kevin, maybe you want to address a little bit the sort of the density differences there.
Well, it's actually kind of funny. I've got a map right here, and there's actually 18 attractions in Fantasyland at Disneyland, which I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, that's even more than Disney's Hollywood Studios? No, I joke. But actually, it's probably not
close.
Pretty close, though. But one of the really key differences is that they did a major retheming in 83 for Fantasyland. And the theming of the buildings where they have Peter Pan and Snow White is just so much more detailed than at Magic Kingdom. And they, you know, they're kind of trying to address the thematic elements with this new Fantasyland. But for that typical castle section, it's really well themed, and in each of the attractions that's in here has kind of a different European flavor. So Peter Pan has a kind of an English flavor, Pinocchio has an Italian flavor, and so forth. So that's really the kind of the key difference there with that castle. And of course, you know, to our friends who favor Florida. The castle's much smaller, so set your expectations accordingly, but still very charming nonetheless.
Yes, yes. And I think that, I guess what I was getting at is that with 19 attractions, you know, in this one land.
In a very small area, much smaller area.
What you've got is, in many ways, a much more efficient land to tour than its sister in the Magic Kingdom, because there's simply less space between attractions. There's not the expanse of, you know, space from one attraction to the next. They're really tightly kind of wedged in carefully together so that it all fits. And I guess what impresses me about it, and you guys can correct me because I haven't experienced it, but from the pictures and things that I see, what's impressive to me about it is that they've you know, I keep using these words, crammed, jammed, whatever, these attractions into this area, but it doesn't look crowded. It doesn't look cramped.
All right. Yeah, I agree with that totally. I mean, there is so much crammed into this area that you think it's bigger than any other land in Disneyland, really, if you just think about everything that's there. But I'm looking at a map right now, and it's really not. It's all of them are about the same size. But there just seems to be so much there because they've used the space so efficiently.
I think your description, David, said it well. When you come through that castle, it's a small village.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Disney World, it's like you go into a big land. Best way to describe it. With Disneyland, you come through there and it's a small little, it's like, we're talking, what, 20 yards, 40 yards from one ride to the next. I mean, some of those rides are literally, you can come off the exit, just take a few steps.
You can
get right into the next one. And the way they've themed it on either side, it, like you said, it doesn't look hurried or rushed. It actually has some very unique theming for each set, but it fits.
Well, I think that's a nice kind of way to segue into the next element here, and that is to, you know, talk about some of our favorite things about the Fantasyland area, you know, focusing primarily here on the attractions and you know, things of that nature, because we'll talk separately about, you know, food and like that as we have in the previous shows. So, I don't know, Brad, why don't you get us rolling here and talk about, you know, your favorite thing about Fantasyland?
I think if I was going to say my favorite thing on in Fantasyland, well, first thing, let me just say, with Fantasyland, I always view it as Kid Central, because it's just such a concentrated number of rides for the smaller kids. Yeah. When my kids were younger, we could never get out of Fantasyland. It's just that's where they love to be. But the one ride that probably stands out the most to me, interestingly enough, is It's a Small World. And it's funny because It's a Small World had gotten to be you go enough times to Disneyland or Disney World and you have to listen to that song enough times and it starts playing in your head. And you consider, you know, other life paths, you know, you just, but when I went to Disneyland, once again, off of this thing about the holidays, when I went to Disneyland for the holidays last Thanksgiving for the first time, I had a whole new introduction to It's a Small World that I had really grown to forget. The detail of the clock and all the different things that are going on. Some people don't like it, and I understand that, but I kind of enjoy the introduction of some of the Disney characters and the Pixar characters that they've added now into the ride at this particular park, because they've done it very subtly. It's not like it doesn't fit. But the main reason is because they do a makeover on It's a Small World, like we talked about the last one for Haunted Mansion, and that absolutely, when they flip the light switch on that to turn the Christmas lights on for that end of the park, and then all the light bulbs sparkle down the road, and it goes down and it hits the It's a Small World, and it all lights up, it is absolutely breathtaking.
So, yeah, that Christmas version of Small World is just amazing. It's I like it so much better than the regular version. And I mean, I love the regular version, but the Christmas one is something special.
And the funny part of it was, it was the Christmas version, because of all the detail, that got me looking at the facade again and starting to really enjoy when the clock opens up and the soldiers march out and it does all the things. I'd totally gotten where I just ignored all that, but it was the Christmas version that actually got me looking at it again.
So David, aside from Small World, what's one of your favorite things about Fantasyland?
I would have to say, I know this is an easy answer, everybody loves it, but Peter Pan. It just has a special place in my heart. I think that's the first ride we went on our first trip to Disneyland, the first dark ride my daughter had ever done. And she was a little nervous, she was a little scared, but she came out of that ride ready to go for the rest of the trip. I mean, she was just loving it. And it's so hard to explain what's so magical about this ride, but it really feels like you're flying over London at the beginning of the ride. Unlike most dark rides, it's the car you're in, well, actually a ship, is hanging from the ceiling rather than riding on a track. So it really feels like you're flying over London. You're flying all over these different scenes from the Peter Pan story. It's quite amazing and also quite popular. You have to get there very early in the day or you're going to be waiting at least a good 45 minutes.
Yeah. And no fast pass for that ride either. No,
yeah, in fact, I was thinking about that. I don't think there's a fast pass for any ride in Fantasyland, is there?
Did they add? No, they added single rider to Matterhorn, but I don't think.
Yeah, single rider, but there's no fast pass for anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. There isn't. Yeah, see, in Fantasyland at Walt Disney World is sort of, you know, almost fast pass central because you've got several fast pass attractions there. And, Peter Pan on the, you know, Disney World side of the Magic Kingdom is almost always my first Fast Pass of the day because it's got the same issue that Disneyland's version does, and that as an older dark ride, capacity is a little lower, and it does back up pretty quickly.
Well, let those of us who are the Disneyland vets encourage you, Aaron. I'm not starting the whole fight between the parks, but you don't want to miss Peter Pan at Disneyland. I don't know about you other guys, but I when I went to Disney World, there was a lot of things I love about Disney World, and certain things I like better there than Disneyland. This wasn't one of them. I was just kind of disappointed in Peter Pan at Disney World, to be honest with you. It just didn't. It's just set up different. You feel more like you're flying. The entrance into the bedroom, it's a different ride for me.
That's good to know. So Kevin, what's one of your favorites?
Well, a couple of my favorites are already taken. So let me talk a little bit about Dumbo. And, you know, it's a cliche to say every kid loves Dumbo. And if it's not Peter Pan, that's your first ride of the day, it's got to be Dumbo. But let me tell you, when my son was about six, we went to Disneyland, and we'd been to Disneyland a bunch of times. We'd gone every year, and it was late in the day, like around dinner time, and he wanted to ride Dumbo again. And we said, well, maybe the line's going to be long. And he said, well, let's go see. And it was 45 minutes. And we said, do you want to wait? And he said, yes, I do. And we waited in that line for 45 minutes, and he didn't complain once. To, you know, ride the ride. And we rode it. It was fun and everything else. And so if you can get a five-year-old kid to wait in line for 45 minutes with no complaining, it's pretty magical if you ask me. So
yeah. That is the magic of Disneyland right there.
And, you know, we always like to go to Fantasyland early in the morning. If you have any sort of extra magic hour type option, this is a key. And as we've already talked about, you can hit all these rides, bing, bing, bang, boom, yeah, all right away. But it's really kind of cool in the morning to go and ride on Dumbo because you get elevated, you get a nice view of that castle courtyard and everything else. So Dumbo's still pretty good ride for me.
Okay, well let's kind of work our way back around too, and give you all another chance to pick out something that you particularly enjoy about Fantasyland. And you know, maybe it's not an attraction, maybe it's something, you know, just an environmental thing or you know, something else that draws your attention, an attraction as opposed to necessarily a ride, but something else that you particularly enjoy about Fantasyland. And I guess we'll come back around to Brad first.
One of them for a lot of people, they don't enjoy it as much. And I can say my body doesn't enjoy it as much anymore. But I still have a real soft place in my heart for Matterhorn. I will jump on the bandwagon with those since they did the redo with the new cars. I'd kick in some money if they put them back to the old cars.
Those new cars.
Oh man, I got three-fourths way around the road. I had my knees in my face because you can't tell where to put your feet. It's a weird deal where you got to kind of, there's these little holes on the side and you got to kind of put your feet in there and they don't tell you and you don't know. And I'm, that was wild. But I still love that ride because I can remember back in the days when they, remember when the aerial ride went through the middle? Wasn't it through the middle of it?
Yeah, it was.
The Skyway.
The Skyway, and clear back into those days when seeing that, and it just has a special place in my heart. I still love Matterhorn, even though it beats the fire out of you. It's a little bit like Space Mountain at Disney World, you know. It just kind of whips you around a lot and bangs a lot, but I still really like Matterhorn.
Okay, and it's a unique Disneyland attraction too. So
gets
bonus points in my
and there's actually several unique ones in Fantasyland.
Right.
That's really what's nice about both these parks. Both of them have some pretty cool stuff that unique to each park.
Right.
A little bit of Matterhorn trivia. When it opened, it was actually in Tomorrowland. So they had to kind of move it over to Fantasyland. No, actually, didn't really move it, but they just changed the border.
For those of you who've never been there, you wouldn't know the difference because the way it sits, it could easily be in either land.
It could easily be either.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so David, what's another of your favorite things about Fantasyland?
Well, I touched on it briefly earlier in my introduction, but I am really liking the new Princess Fantasy Fair area. The old spot back by the Fantasyland Theater was fine, but the lines were always so outrageous. I mean, you know, a bunch of 4 and 5 year old little girls waiting for an hour, hour and a half was not a pretty sight. But the new Fantasy Fair, they have worked their Disney magic and figured out a way to make the line move faster by having multiple sets of princesses, you know, seeing people at any one time. So the lines are a lot more manageable. The whole
now,
area.
Now, David, you're not telling me that there's more than one Cinderella. There's only one. There can't be
That's
multiple.
That's true. That's true. I didn't mean to spoil any magic there. Yeah, the whole area is themed really beautifully to fit in with the rest of Fantasyland. I mentioned earlier there's a small theater there. I think it holds maybe 200 to 300 people with an area for the kids to sit down at the front. And they have they alternate shows during the day. I think the first three shows of the day are based on Rapunzel and Tangled, and the last three shows of the day are based on Beauty and the Beast. And it's kind of it's an odd show. It's kind of a vaudeville type show. These two gentlemen come out and do a little comedy routine, and they tell the story of Tangled or Beauty and the Beast with the princess appearing, but they play all the other parts. It's quite entertaining. It's quite funny. And then at the end, the princess for that show has a little meet and greet inside the theater. So that's always fun for the kids. Nice little snack cart there that sells some treats that I don't think you find anywhere else. And it's really close to the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique if you're interested in that. So, yeah, I think that would be my next favorite.
David,
a question.
Are the shows a little bit like the – I wondered about this because I haven't been able to see those yet, so I'm looking forward to it. But mm-hmm. No, the bookstore on the back side of the castle on the left where you'd go in the back and there's a little tiny back room. I think it was Snow White would come in and tell a story, and she had the guy that would come in and narrate and kind of do all the different characters and that kind of thing. Is it kind of like that? You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, but I've never seen that, so I don't know if it's similar or not.
It's more like if Laurel and Hardy were telling the story and they dressed up in wigs and dresses and sang songs and that, you know, it's the classical comedy duo. There's a tall, big guy, and there's sort of a smaller guy. And I got to tell you, there was a lot of controversy when they got rid of the Carnation Plaza Gardens to build this, and all the locals were up in arms about, you know, Walt's favorite place or whatever. And and Princess this. Now I'm sick of it. I'll tell you what, we were there and that place was packed all day. And those shows are really, really funny. And kids were howling, adults were laughing. And I think you definitely could have some replayability by seeing those shows too, because I think they can kind of throw in some little timely jokes as well. And that's just really a really great place. I have to agree.
And as I predicted, when everybody started going crazy about it, they just when they did the 24-hour day, what did they have back there again in the open part of the plaza?
Swing dancing.
The swing dancers were back.
Yes,
and that's right.
Just as I predicted, as soon as they finished the construction, there was plenty of room there. I think it's probably true. It doesn't look like they've necessarily brought them back all the time yet, although I still wouldn't be surprised to see them coming back on a more regular basis. So, as I always say, when there are construction projects happening in any of these parks, wait to react till they're done.
Right.
See what they do. There was a time there for a little while where maybe it wasn't such a good idea to trust the Imagineers. But I got to say that, over the last, 3 years or so at least, and probably a little longer than that, I don't think Imagineering is missed yet.
I agree. They've really done some amazing things.
So, Kevin, you have another favorite thing to add here?
Yeah, let me just finish up the Fantasy Fair. I want to give a tip.
Sure.
Universal has been making hand over fist with the butterbeer over there at Harry Potter, and Disney's been trying to, find something suitable. I think they may have found it with the Boysen Apple Freeze at the Fantasy Fair. Really, really tasty. Same sort of idea of a sugary drink with some frothy top on there. So that's a winner for me. My last tip here is that one of the things that they did a couple of years ago was reopen the castle walkthrough. This was like something that was opened back in the 50s where you could walk through the castle and you go up and over where the drawbridge area is and then back down. And it tells you the story of Sleeping Beauty with these little panels and these little boxes. And there's some environmental things in there as well. And this is not your e-ticket. It's probably more like an A-ticket. But it still can be a lot of fun to walk through there. And there are some interactive elements. You might want to stand next to a big door and have a bunch of kids try to open it. I'll just leave it at that. It can be a lot of fun. So don't overlook that as some place to either kill a few minutes, but also to just go through. There are some really interesting displays inside there.
Okay. Excellent. Good point. Thanks for sharing that one. I think that one is one that might be easy to overlook if you didn't know to find it. Okay, so my next question is, you're clearly going to be in Fantasyland for a while because there's a lot going on there. So what do you do when you need a snack? I mean, the drink in the new Fantasy Fair area is nice, but what else is available there? Any favorites?
When it comes to dining, There's other than the snack ones, there's not a lot. The Village House, and actually the Village House, we enjoy eating there. But it's usual burgers and pizza and nothing really exciting there. But that's the only main restaurant there.
Okay. David, you got a favorite snack in the area?
Well, I was just going to say the same thing. I'm not a big snack person, so I'm not well-versed on all the snacks, but I do know there are turkey legs available at a couple places in Fantasyland, and those are hugely popular. Never had one myself, but I know a lot of people like them.
I find them mildly scary.
They are quite large.
How about you, Kevin? Any suggestions for a treat in Fantasyland?
Yeah, so in addition to the sort of cart stuff that you get, there's actually a lot of options in the hub, which is not maybe too far away. But if you're looking for something in Fantasyland, one of the things that they brought with the Maurice's treats was these twists, these sort of pastry twists. And there's a strawberry one and one that's like garlic, something like that. And they've, I guess, just opened the Troubadour Tavern, and they have a cinnamon twist over there now. Over by the Fantasyland Theater. So those twists, might be a little bit hit or miss depending on how fresh they are, but if you like a good pastry like I do, they're pretty good.
Good to know. I don't want to leave Fantasyland without touching on you know, some of the particularly unique attractions that are in Fantasyland and Disneyland, but there is no analog for them in the Magic Kingdom. Because those are attractions that, you know, most of our listeners are Disney World folks. And if they're going to Disneyland and they're planning their trip, you know, the things that, that we want to make sure that they get a chance to experience because they're unique to Disneyland and Fantasyland at Disneyland. And the first one of those that comes to mind is the Pinocchio ride, because we don't have a Pinocchio ride in the Magic Kingdom. And so, I don't know, Kevin, maybe you'll talk a little bit about Pinocchio in Fantasyland.
Well, sure. It's same sort of dark ride with a lot more of the flat effects more than sort of figures and things like that you might get in, like, say, Snow White. But, you know, it's called Pinocchio's Daring Journey, and like some of the other dark rides here, they can be actually a little bit scary for the really little kids. But, you know, all these dark rides, they tell the story of the movie. You see some characters. It can be, you know, fun to go through there, but there are some scary elements in this Daring Journey with sort of some faux explosions and things like that.
Oh, okay. So things to, you know, watch out for a little bit, because the young ones get a little freaked out.
Yeah, and there's actually, to go right along with that, there's another ride right next to Pinocchio that I think probably freaks out a whole lot of kids, and that's Snow White's Scary Adventures. Does Disney World have that? I'm actually not sure.
Well, that's interesting. It just closed at Disney World.
Oh, okay.
About a year ago. It's being replaced by...
So their Fantasy Fair kind of a thing is.
Well,
right?
Sort of two things.
Okay.
Because it's getting the princess meet and greet area is physically occupying the same space. Thematically, we're getting the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That's the new Snow White attraction that'll be opening sometime in the next year or so in Magic Kingdom. So,
okay.
You know, it's good that you mentioned that, though, because I think that there are Disney World fans who would, you know, head to Disneyland and see that Snow White's Scary Adventure is still there and say, you know, ooh, let's go check it out. You know, it's not there at Disney World anymore.
I think the other ride that's unique to Disneyland that's probably the more infamous of the bunch, that most talked about, is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Okay.
Did they have that at one time in Disney World?
Yeah. At Disney World, its space is now occupied by the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So that's another one that's still at Disneyland that gets talked about by a lot of those that miss it from Disney World that talk about going out there so they can ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. But it's another one of those rides. A lot of these rides in this area, there's a lot of them that was described a moment ago. This is the flat. You're on a track. It's bright colors, but everything's flat. There's no 3D effects to it. It's just the old school dark rides.
And that's another thing that's not present at Walt Disney World is the Alice in Wonderland attraction.
That's a big favorite in our family. And this one actually has some newer technology where you have more of the 3D style figures and some animation on the walls and things like that. Unfortunately, our regulators in California are a little bit more stringent than the ones in Florida, because the part that was so charming about this ride is you would go through and see characters like the Queen and everybody else from the Alice in Wonderland movie, and then you would come out high above where you started, and you would come lazily down this sloping track, and it would kind of go back and forth and back and forth as you were coming down. And somebody got the bright idea that, well, if the car stopped for some reason and you somehow escaped, you might fall out of your car and, you know, hurt yourself, even though this has been open for how many decades and no one's ever been injured. But so they've actually kind of put a bunch of planks and stuff underneath the track so no one can hurt themselves, which is really too bad because it kind of ruins the end of this ride. But it's still
visually, it's just not the same.
Yeah, but it's still a really fun ride because, you know, again, especially if you like the film, you have the opportunity to experience it there at Disneyland.
Okay, good, good. So are there any other of those sort of uniquely Disneyland Fantasyland attractions that we haven't mentioned yet?
Storybook Land Boats.
Okay.
Which is another cool one with that. We talk about the season changes.
Uh-huh.
They actually will change characters and the little scenes in it depending upon the time of year.
Interesting. And talk a little bit about the ride, because that's one of those things that we used to have something somewhat similar very briefly at Disney World. We had the Swan Boats, but they didn't last very long at Disney World. And it's something that has lasted longer at Disneyland. We kind of talked about a similar attraction with the canoes in Critter Country. Talk a little bit about Storybook Land boats are like.
Yeah, it's a boat ride similar to what you do in It's a Small World, except for you go, if I remember correctly, you go through the mouth of the whale like you're going inside, but you really don't. You come out the other side and you're actually outside. And then it has little miniature villages. It's like it's kind of like Peter Pan, where everything's shrunk down and small that you're flying over. But this time it's all on the sides of the mountains and hills. And so you'll see little caricatures and houses and then animals on the hillside and little groupings that of cities and villages. And they have set scenes as you go around. So they're little miniature village scenes. And so during the holidays, if I remember it correctly, it's been a while since I saw it at the holidays, but I remember I saw it and they put in characters that were like with snow and things like that. Does that sound right, guys?
Yeah, they'll put Christmas trees up and, Christmas decorations. And they have a cast member in the boat with you doing the narration of, Aladdin's castle and everything else.
Right,
And this ride, you're in this canal, and then above you is where they have the Casey Jr. track, which is sort of a cross between a train and a roller coaster because you do go over some hills and things like that. And that's, again, you're going around the same area, but at an elevated height, and you get into, this little car, and some of them are like cages, so you're like caged monkeys for Casey Jr., something like that.
Okay. Okay.
And another thing that's really cool about the Storybook Land canal boats is the plant life on the canals. All the little trees and everything that are along with these miniature scenes, they're not artificial. They're real trees. Real. Almost. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call them bonsai trees because they're not really bonsais, but same general principle.
Like that, yeah,
they're trees groomed down to be the proper size for the scaled down scenes. Really cool.
That is cool.
And I forgot, just mentioned, I think, I think Kevin, you mentioned about Aladdin's castle. These scenes I said, the villages, some of them are scenes like Aladdin and different character scenes from different Disney movies and things. So it's not just some arbitrary village. It's actually, Br'er Rabbit's village, or it's Aladdin, or
right.
So
yeah,
it's pretty
or
cool.
Pinocchio's village. They all have some Disney tie-in.
Right.
All right. Well, I think we reached the point here in the show where we want to give our listeners some tips for touring in Fantasyland and, things to watch out for and make sure that they enjoy their experience there. So, Kevin, why don't you, take the first stab at giving people your best tip for a happy experience in Fantasyland?
Well, I already mentioned it. If you come early, even if it's when there is no extra magic hours, even if you come right at park opening, you can hit all of these rides in an hour and be done and not have to wait all day in line. Whereas if you came at 11 o'clock, it could be dinner time before you're done with all these rides. And so, go early, go often. That's really the best tip for Fantasyland because otherwise you're going to be waiting in line all day. And while it's true that you don't feel like it's maybe as crowded as Magic Kingdom, believe me, come 2 o'clock, there's a lot of people in Fantasyland. So that's my best tip for Fantasyland for sure, is get there early.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. David, how about you? You have a tip for folks about Fantasyland?
Well, it can't be said enough what was just said about be there early. It's that if you're not on Peter Pan, first thing in the morning, like I said, it's going to be 45-minute, hour-long wait. But since that's already been said, I'm going to revisit something we talked briefly about a while ago. Even though this is Kid Central, as Brad said, understand that there are some of these rides that your kids may not want to go on. So these some of these dark rides are really scary for younger kids. The I mentioned Snow White earlier. The urban legend is, I don't know if this is true, but they actually had to change the name from just Snow White to Snow White's Scary Adventures because so many parents were complaining about how scary it is. In fact, there's a story that I've been instructed to tell tonight. My daughter is going to kill me if I don't because she thinks it's so funny.
Okay.
The one and only time that we've been on this ride, she was all gung-ho, wanted to go on it, and as soon as we got off, she just stops right when we get out of the car, plants her feet on the ground, and yells at the top of her lungs, "That was not good." And all the cast members and everything just cracked up because they said they hear that again and again and again all day long. So just know your kid's limits. Know what your kid will and won't do. That's okay. My number one.
Good to know. Good tip. How about you, Brad? Do you have a tip for people touring Fantasyland?
Well, I'm going to follow suit, jump right on with both of them, talk about going early. You know, one thing about you hear a lot with Walt Disney World people, because a lot of the people that listen to our podcast are Disney World people that are thinking about Disneyland. You know, in Disney World, it's kind of the set thing of don't go during extra morning at magic hours for that park. You hear that a lot because the park tends to be full. In my opinion, when it comes to Disneyland, go extra morning hours because it can't be said enough. You can hit 9-10 rides in that first hour and literally wipe out Fantasyland in that one hour because the rides are all so close together. You hit Dumbo, you hit Peter Pan. Those are the ones that stack up fast, and then everything else is pretty light, and you'll walk right on and you'll go through ride after ride. But other than that. If they are still doing that story thing in the bookstore, and it may be basically a moot point now because of the way it was being described with the new Fantasy Fair, that those shows are very similar. But that little show is one of the cutest little shows. It's very small in there, and so you got to get there to get a good spot to sit down. But it's in the bookstore on the other side of the castle, and go in there. And then one other thing I would say, hint, or be careful that you don't, with the castle, you can go through it and you can go around it. On the right-hand side that goes over towards Matterhorn, the path that goes to Matterhorn, over tucked in there, easy to miss, is Pixie Hollow. And for those that really like the character meet and greets, kind of experiences that Pixie Hollow is a really good character meet and greet as well, but you'll totally miss it if you don't, because the tendency is to walk right through that castle, because especially if you come from Disney World, because you're like, hey, I'm allowed in, you know. So I want to go inside there. Go around that side and don't miss some of the things that are to the sides of the castle as well.
Yeah, and also a good tip with Pixie Hollow is, even though there's no meet and greet at night there, take a walk through it at night. It's absolutely beautiful.
And yeah. It's a great place for pictures. It gets
the lighting is just stunning.
Have you seen any pictures of that, Aaron?
I have not. I'm assuming David has some, so you know, maybe I can convince him to share a couple.
Took any pictures.
Yeah, it's built to make it look like the pixies are pixie size. So everything's huge.
Right.
As you go into it, you go a little bit farther into it, and all of a sudden everything gets bigger and bigger, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have some cool water effects there too at night. It's sort of a little mini World of Color type of thing there as well.
Yeah, mini.
Yeah, very many.
Yeah.
But it is cool. You're right. It's jumping waters, you know, that jump across, you know, where you have those shots of water that go across the path and stuff.
Okay. Okay. Great.
I guess I one last tip is that if you are trying to find a good spot for the parade, going back towards It's a Small World, there's a lot more room back there, and it doesn't get quite as crowded as the Hub and Main Street are. So if you're looking to maybe not be completely crammed in, that might be a good place to catch the parade.
That's a great hint. That great tip.
Yes. And also a really good spot is right there, right before you get to the Alice in Wonderland ride, like kind of right around where those bathrooms are there. They only allow viewers on one side. So when the parade goes by, all the characters will be interacting with your side.
I think they do that. Do they do that same thing at Storybook Land? Isn't that one side only?
Not sure
about
that. I don't
remember. Maybe not. But yeah, there are areas along there. You watch. There's, you're exactly right. There's only one side they allow people on, so the characters put all their attention there. It's wider there than in some areas, and you can there's not so many people, so you can see way down the path before they get there, and after they get by you, you can still see them. So that is a great tip.
And let me ask, while we're on this subject of show type things, is there a decent spot in Fantasyland to watch fireworks, or is it just because you're on the backside of the castle? Once you're in there, is it too do you not have a good angle?
I think you want to be on the hub for fireworks or Main Street.
Yeah. You can still enjoy it back there, but it's just not the same experience.
Yeah, you'd be missing a lot of the light effects on the castle. Yeah.
You're going to miss the flight.
All right. Well, that was some great tips, great advice. We'd love to hear from our listeners as well, who have things that they'd like to share about touring in Fantasyland at Disneyland. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And also remember to check your feed for our new midweek dad show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. Until the next show, I've been Aaron Rittmaster, and with me tonight have been Brad Coates.
Thanks, everybody, for letting us share our park with you.
Kevin Grossman.
I've always wanted to do this. I'm going to Disneyland.
And David Platt.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.